These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Cause we're the more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a business man. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but three now. Three, maybe more later, who knows. Chat rooms. And so with that said, you get to hang out with a lot of people and maybe learn a few things or something like that. So, today I think I'll dedicate this show to the phrase, there is no such thing as free energy. Yeah, I said it. Old Shazizz, the crazy madman, mad science guy, okay? Jump over there to my YouTube channel, look around some of those videos over there and you'll see why I say I'm a crazy guy. Because there is no such thing as free energy, right? Science says that 4 to 5 billion years ago, the sun starts to produce energy. Might have to reconsider what I just said a minute ago about free energy and all. 4 to 5 billion years ago, sun starts to produce energy. Might have to think what I just said about a few minutes ago. So, about 4 to 5 billion years ago, the sun starts to produce energy, and here in modern day, we now have solar cells to collect said energy. That's pretty cool. Okay, so let's move along in our technology timeline, which I have posted the link over to the superchat.html, and along with a couple other links, a couple other ones, a Wikipedia, and another's an invention timeline that we'll just kind of skip around here and here to try to get things sorted out. So, 4 to 5 billion years ago, sun starts to produce energy, and approximately 10 million years ago, hold on a second, wait a second, we just went from billion to million. 4 to 5 billion years, sun starts to produce energy. Today we have solar cells. Alright, well, 10 million, it took a long time for people to get around to, using their brains, I guess, because we came from little squiggly things all the way up to monkeys and so far, and then finally we got to be people. Okay, let's move right along. 10 million years ago, humans make the first tools from stone, wood, antlers, and bones. Cool! We got tools now. Modern day, now we have tools and machines. Cool! Alright, moving right along. Let's see. 1 to 2 million years ago, humans discover fire. Boy, wait a second. Let's back up a second. 1 to 2 million years ago, humans discover fire. You know what? That means for the first, several million years, man froze his booty off. According to science, yeah. They had tools, but they were freezing their booty off because they didn't have no fire. Alright, well, so now we're at 1 to 2 million years ago, humans discovered fire. Now, in modern day, we have biofuels, candles, car engines, jet engines. Alright, we're doing pretty good modern day now, according to what the science says they were doing 1 to 2 million years ago. Let's move right along. Okay, about 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, humans first wear clothes. Oh, hold on a second now. Wait a minute. Oh, let's back up a second. Wait a second. This is like, okay, this is getting good here. Alright, okay, so for 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, humans first wear clothes. So that means 10 million years ago, they made the first tools, and then approximately 1.5 million years ago, they discovered fire. And then many years later, they discovered clothes. They're wearing clothes. So I'm thinking that from, 4.5 billion years ago, the sun starts to produce energy. Now we got solar panels. 10 million years ago, humans make the first tools. So from 10 million years all the way up to 25,000 to 50,000 BC, they finally get clothes. So in the meantime, all that other time, they were running around butt naked with tools in the cold. Until they discovered fire. Then, 25,000 to 50,000 BC, the humans first wear clothes. Woohoo! Clothes, yay! I'm not so sure it was a woohoo before that, because a woohoo back there wouldn't, everybody run around butt naked, but, I guess that could be good in some folks' eyes, but in the meantime, the skeeters out there, I'm sure, were pretty fierce in the day, being mostly jungle, wasn't all these cities and everything. The cold wind, the cold rain, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Yeah. Okay, so 4 to 5 billion years ago, we found 4 or 5 billion years ago, the sun starts to produce energy. Now we have solar cells. 10 million years ago, humans made the first tools from stone, wood, antlers, and bones. And now we have tools and machines. 1.5 million years ago, humans discovered fire. And now we have biofuels, candles, cars, the engines, and jet engines. 25,000 to 50,000 years ago, according to science, humans start wearing clothes. So it took them a long time to get wise enough to wear clothes, but now they're wearing clothes. So wonder how much longer it took to get the zoot suit out. All right, let's keep going. All right, approximately 10,000 BCE, earliest boats are constructed. Now we have ships and boats. So, they got clothes, they got tools, and they got a boat now. Woohoo! Yay! Alright, we're doing good. Okay, let's get up here. About 8,000 to 9,000 BC, big beginnings of human settlements and agriculture. Now, we have biofuels and water. They already said biofuels and water. Hold on, I gotta back up again, because 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, when humans first found clothes, now we have biometric clothing. Ooh. Hey. Ooh. Okay, plus the earliest boats. Now we got ships and boats, and we're up to biofuel and water. Okay, now, 6,000 to 7,000 BCE, handmade bricks, first used for the construction in the Middle East, and now we have bricks. Wait a second. Kind of sounds like we slagged on that one a little bit, because if 6,000 to 7,000 BCE, the Egyptians were using bricks, and today we're still using bricks, well, I guess Grandpa used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, so we got bricks. Yeah, and concrete, and center blocks, and all kinds of cool stuff. Alright, well, let's just see what happened here. 4,000 BCE, iron used for the first time in decorative ornaments. Yay! Iron, decorative ornaments, and now we have iron and steel. And, so, we got iron and steel, we got clothes, we got heat, we got a lot of goodies. Ships and boats and biofuel. Okay. So anyway, from that point on, iron, we have iron and steel. At about 3500 BCE, humans invent the wheel. Woohoo! We got a wheel now! Ha! We got iron, we got steel, we got bricks, we got biofuels and waters and wheels. Alright, today we have tools, machinery, wheels, and axles to go along with that wheel. So, about C-1700 BCE, Semites of the Mediterranean developed the alphabet. Ooh, yeah, right on, now we can go to school. Now we have the digital pen. Alright, from about 0 to 1500 BCE, ancient societies invent some of the first machines for moving water and agriculture. Now, today we have tools and machinery and water. About 1000 BCE, Iron Age begins. Iron is widely used for making tools and weapons in many parts of the world. Now we have iron and steel. We had iron and steel. Well, like Grandpa used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Alright, so about 600 BC, Thales of Miletus discovers static electricity. Ooh, now we're getting into the good stuff. Static electricity, 600 BC. Now we have electricity and static electricity. Cool. Right on. And so, now that they had all them fur clothes and they were walking around their new caves and houses and stuff like that, and they discovered carpet and basically shocked each other on the ear and stuff, and you know, had fun and learned all about that. Okay, that's good. Alright, so about C-150 to 100 BC, gear-driven precision clockwork machines such as the I can't pronounce it, mechanism, are in existence. Clockwork. Now we got clockwork. All right, so about C 50 BC, Roman engineer Vitruvius perfects the modern vertical water wheel. Now we got turbines. Woo! Well, I tell you what, we're sure moving right along, because it only took, 10 million years to get closed or something like that? Hold on, it took longer than that. Let's see, I'll try to... Nah, I'll just keep on rolling. So about 27 BCE, hold on, we got to back up because we got to get the Chinese their credit. Man, there we go, we got to back even further up. Okay, so 62 CE, Hero of Alexandra, a Greek scientist, pioneered steam power. Now we have steam engines. 105 CE, Tsai Lun makes the first paper in China. So now we have paper. Yay, we can write something down, man. Send some letters in the mail and stuff like that. 27 BCE to 395 CE, Romans developed the first basic concrete called pozzolana. Sounds like some sort of pasta, but I don't know. Steel and concrete is what we got now. 600 CE, windmills are invented in the Middle East, so now we have wind turbines. 700 to 900 CE, Chinese invented gunpowder and fireworks. Now we have bullets and fireworks. So now all the rednecks can jump out there and shoot off bullets and blast off fireworks and have a good old time. That's good. So we're making some progress, I think. So 1000 CE, Chinese develop eyeglasses by fixing lenses to frames that fit onto people's faces. Yay, now we got lenses. So now everybody can see. If you got your spectacles on, or your bifocals, or your trifocals, or quadro, or whatever, binoculars. Alright, so 1470S, the first parachute is sketched on paper by unknown inventor. Woo! Now we have parachutes. Wait a second, what the heck you need a parachute for if you ain't got no doggone plane yet? Oh man, come on. Alright, well, we'll get our act together eventually. Hold on, let me take a drink of my coffee. That's nothing like good hot coffee when you're out here jaw-jacking and reading off the history. Alright, so in the 1530s, Gerardus Mercator helps to revolutionize navigation with better map making. Now we have satellite navigation. You know, like GPS and all that kind of stuff. Woohoo! Yeah, we're getting right along. So he did a map. Okay, so 1590, a Dutch spectacle maker named Zacharias Janssen makes the first compound microscope. Microscopes. Now we have microscopes and electron microscopes. About 1600, Galileo designs a basic thermometer. All right, boy, we're getting up there now. We got medical stuff coming along. Well, it's not just medical. You can look up and see what the actual temperature is. That's good. You got a thermometer now. And about 1600, just flat out 1600 according to this, William Gilbert publishes his great book, De Magnete, describing how Earth behaves like a giant magnet. It's the beginning of the scientific study of magnetism. And now we have magnetism. That's modern day. That's what it says right there. Modern day magnetism. Alright, so 1609, Galileo builds a practical telescope that makes new astronomical discoveries. So now we have space telescopes like Hubble. Yay! Woohoo! We're getting right along. Alright, so 1615, Christian Huygens develops the pendulum clock using Galileo's earlier discovery that swinging pendulums can be used to keep time. Now we have pendulum clocks. Alright. So, in 1687, Isaac Newton formulates his three laws of motion. Now we have motion. Yay, everything's moving. Okay, so in the 1700s, Cristofori invents the piano. Now we have pianos. Yay, go Beethoven. Alright, so, you know, I'm going to skip on ahead there a little bit because I understand that there's a lot of people out there that did a lot of things, and this is just a small list of all the accomplishments during that particular point of time that science says we have. Whew! Whew! Gotta take a breath here. So, you know, I'm going to do the short deal of it. We have steam engines. Now we have steam engines, car engines, zinc, satellite navigation, quartz clocks, watches, satellite navigation, nickel, zeolites, whatever the heck that is. Axel Crondest, whatever, notices steam when he boils a rock and discovers zeolites. Okay, that must be like a radioactive rock or something. I don't know. Anyway, now we have speech synthesizers, bridges, pyrometers, hot air balloons, titanium, electric batteries, and so on. Okay, we got to read this one now. In 1800, Italian Alessandro Volta makes the first battery known as the voltaic pile. All right. Now we have batteries and stuff. And inverters and all kinds of goodies. So we're up to a history of the computers. We got paper. We got electrolyzers. We got xenon lamps, steam engines, and Stirling engines. Robert Stirling invents the efficient Stirling engine. 1816 had a Stirling engine. 1814, George Stephen builds the first practical steam locomotive. Ooh, we got to go back to this one here. This is exciting. 1807, Humphrey Davy develops the electric arc lamp. Ooh, that led up to the xenon lamps that we got now. So, let's see here. 1827, Joseph Nipes, I can't pronounce it, makes the first modern photograph. Woo! Now we got photographs and digital cameras. We're doing good here, folks. We're up to the 1830s when William Sturgeon develops the first practical electric motor. Ooh, yeah, right on. 1830s. It's 2017. In the 1830s, the first electrical motor. Yeah, now we got electric motors and hub motors. So, we're doing pretty good. And let's see, I'll stop right there. Go, that's 1830s. So, we're going to go all the way back down here to 4.5 billion years, sun starts producing energy. 10 million years ago, humans make the first tools from stone. And all the way from 10 million years all the way down to the 1830s when William Sturgeon develops the first practical electric motor. Well, that took a long time to get there. It took a long time for us to figure out how to wear clothes. Now we're up to manufacturing clothes anyway. Okay, so 1830s to 1840s, Charles Wheatstone and William Cook in England and Samuel Morse in the United States developed the electric telegraph, a forerunner to the telephone. Ooh, now we got telephones and cell phones and Skype and cool stuff. Alright, we're getting there. So, let's see. 1836, Englishman Francis Pettit Smith and Swedish-American John Ericsson independently developed propellers with blades for ships. Now we have propellers. Woohoo! We got parachutes and propellers at this point, but yet we ain't got no airplane. Okay, they're working on it. Don't worry. Let's see, where are we at? There to do. I'm going to skip ahead here because I know there's a lot of wonderful people out there that designed a lot of wonderful things all the way up through history. But, you know, we only got 3 hours to read all this stuff out, and this took billions of years according to science. So, where are we at here? Ooh, in the 1860s, we got fire extinguishers. Nobody knows who invented the fire extinguisher, but, hey, whatever, it's there. Yeah, fire extinguishers. 1861, Elisha Graves, Otis, invents the elevator with the built-in safety brake. Alright, we got an elevator that ain't going to fall to the basement if something fails. That's good. I wonder if they had elevators before that failed because of the brakes. Alright, so I got to take another drink of coffee while I sit here to look. Oh, I tell you what, sometimes it's a chore to read history. So, let's see, 1870s is where we're at. We kind of skipped a few years, not to, you know, discredit anybody for doing anything, but there's just so much. Alright, so what do we got here? 1870s. Lester Pelton invents a useful new kind of water turbine known as the a Pelton wheel. Now we have turbines. Well, we had turbines a little bit earlier, it looked like. But, nonetheless, gotta give Lester his dues. In 1877, this is where it gets good again, Thomas Edison invents his sound recording machine, or phonograph, a forerunner to the record player and CD player. Now we have record players and sound and stuff. And Skype. Alright, so Edward, in 1877, Edward Berry invents the flare gun, Berry pistol, for sending distress flares at sea. Flares, yay! So the Chinese got the gunpowder, and the rednecks got the firecrackers, and now we have flare guns. Bad combination. Alright, so in 1880, Thomas Edison patents the modern incandescent electric lamp. Alright, finally, we got there. Woohoo! In 1880, Thomas Edison patents the modern incandescent electric lamp. Now we have incandescent lamps. So, in 1880, we had incandescent lamps, and today we have, incandescent lamp. Look, like Grandpa always said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Alright, so, moving right along. And, So, let's see, from that point, 1880, Perry and Paul Jacques and Curie, or whatever, discover piezoelectric effect. Yay, piezoelectricity. Now we got little piezoelectric crystals for our microphones and speakers and cell phones and stuff like that. So, cool, that was a good invention. 1880s, Thomas Edison opens the world's first power plant. All right, power plants. That's what we got today. Some of them's pretty interesting. So, in 1880s, there was a lot of stuff going on in 1880s. Charles Chamberlain invents the autoclave steam sterilizing machine. Now we have autoclaves. Whatever the heck an autoclave is. Alright. So, now in 1880s, they developed new ways of mining gold and silver. That was Carrie Everson invents new ways of mining silver and gold and copper. And some of those ways end up coming up with phrases like mad as a hatter, you know, because they used like mercury in some of them processes. But, either way, there we go. Moving right along. So, I'm going to get up here to 1888, Frederick Renitzer discovers liquid crystals. LCD screens and displays is what that led to. Now we get down to the man of the hour, 1888. Nikola Tesla patents the alternating current, AC electrical induction motor, and in opposition to Thomas Edison, becomes the staunch advocate of AC power. Electricity, electric motors, induction motors, power plants, and that's just barely scratch the surface of all the inventions that came up out of Tesla's research. And so now we use AC current. In 1899, Everett F. Morse invents the optical pyrometer for measuring temperatures and at a safe distance. So now we have pyrometers. Oh, man. So in 1901, we got the radio. Guglielmo Marconi says... sends a radio wave signal across the Atlantic. So now we have a radio. No, wait, there's one. 1895, German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen discovers X-ray. I didn't even pronounce that either. He discovered X-ray. So now we can X-ray stuff. Alright, so, man, we went all the way through history and everything's got to where it's got, I guess. Albert Einstein explains the photoelectric effect in 1905. Samuel J. Benz invents the chainsaw. 1906, William Carrier pioneers the air conditioning. 1906, Mikhail, I can't even pronounce it, discovers chromatography. All right, so, you know, through the 1907s and 1906, all kinds of little inventions and pretty good ones. In 1912, Hans Geiger develops the Geiger counter, a detector for radioactivity. And now we have Geiger counters. Cool. All right, so all these old people that studied up a lot of stuff way back in the when led to all the modern-day luxuries that we all have access to, and all the tools and technology. So, but now we're up to the Geiger counter, so that means we can detect radioactivity. Okay, well, let's move right along. Got some tools now, got some clothes, got some heat. We're doing pretty good. Let's see, looking all the way down through here. Ooh, 1920s, Robert H. Goddard develops the principles of the modern liquid fuel space rocket. Now we have bullets and space rockets. We're going to space, man. In 1920s as well, German engineer Gustav Toschek or something like that, and American Paul Handel independently developed the primitive optical character recognition scanner system, OCR. Well, that sounds high-tech. Sounds pretty interesting. All right, well, so Albert, also in the 1920s, Albert W. Hull invents the magnetron, a device that can generate microwaves from electricity. All right, in the 1920s, we had microwaves, but now we got magnetrons and microwave ovens. I think we're doing pretty good so far. Well, it took us quite a while to get there, man. Okay. So, not to give anybody less credit or anything, but modern day, we got robots, we got polygraphs, we got air conditioners, refrigerators again, televisions, LCD TVs, digital pens, eco homes, and solar cells. So in 1930, Maria Telt creates the first solar-powered house. Wow, we had the first solar-powered house in the 1930s. That's interesting. All right, so also in the 1930s, Wallace Carruthers develops neoprene synthetic rubber used in wetsuits and nylon, the first popular synthetic clothing material. Okay, so now the caveman can wear some warmer clothes that are less heavy and less likely to get soggied up whenever it rains or something like that. So now we went from 1930s of the neoprene to now we have Kevlar, Nomex, nylon, and wetsuits. Right on. All right, so also in the 1930s, Robert Watson, oversees the development of radar. Now we can see when the bad guys are coming in to blow us up from the ships or the tanks and all that and the airplanes, because we got radar. That's 1930s, man. So, in 1931, Howard E. Edgerton invents the xenon flash lamp for high-speed photography. All right, good deal. So let's skip ahead here again. So now we got radar, pH meters, xenon lamps, shape memory alloys, because in 1932, Olander discovers the shape memory effect of gold and cadmium alloy. Yay! Certain metals where you can actually, heat them up and shape them, and then whenever they change temperatures, will actually move. And, we got thermometers and thermostats now that we use. So, in 1936, W.B. Elwood invented the magnetic reed switch. So we had reed switches all the way back in 1936. That's pretty good. So we're going to move right along again here. Reed switches, photocopiers, Gore-Tex, nonstick pans, helicopters, magnetrons, and radars, and nuclear power. Ooh, 1942, Enrico Fermi builds the first nuclear chain reactor at the University of Chicago. That's cool. Alright, so... okay, so now, let's see here. We're going to go from 1942, from the first nuclear chain reactor. We got nuclear power, electronic books, amplifiers, electronics, history of computers, transistors, barcodes and barcode scanners, lasers. In 1950, Charles Townes authored Shalow invented the Maser, microwave laser. Gould, coins the word laser. Yay! Maser laser. Now we have a taser. Lasers! Alright, that was in the 1950s. And from the 1950s, we went from lasers, batteries, electric bikes, electric cars, solar cells, microwave ovens, fiber optics, endoscopes, nuclear power plants. The first commercial nuclear power plant is produced at Calder Hall, Cumbria, England. Huh. So England is involved in the power plants, okay. Alright, here we go. Now we're getting to the space race. In 1957, Soviet Union, Russia, and her allies launched the Sputnik space satellite. So now we got satellites. Alright, 1957, Lawrence Curtis, Basil Hershowitz, and Wilbur Peters built the first fiber optic and gastroscope. So now we have endoscopes. And I'm sorry I'm masquering some of these names through history. So I hope they don't come out their grave and get me for it. But, nonetheless, moving right along. So now we got... we got history of computers, integrated circuits, transistors, computer graphics, snowmobiles, lasers, photochromic lenses, computer graphics, e-commerce, defibrillators. In 1965, Frank Pandridge develops the portable defibrillator for treating cardiac arrest patients. Yay, 1965, that's the year I was born. Alright, so moving right along, we now have Kevlar vacuum fluorescent displays, molecular beams, I can't even pronounce it, solar cell energy, electronic books, CCDs, digital cameras, space rockets. Ooh, here's an important one right here, 1969. Astronauts walked on the moon. Now we have space rockets. Alright. Huh. This is cool, man. What else we got? We got space rockets. We got a computer mouse. We got CD players. Electronic link and paper. History of computers. Cell phones. Computer networks. Internet. Barcode. There's a good one right there. In 1977, Robert Metcalf figures out a simple way of linking computers together that he names Ethernet. Most computers hooked up to the Internet now use it. So now we have Ethernet and Internet and Wi-Fi and all that cool stuff. Okay, moving right along. Barcodes and scanners. We got encryption. We got smart homes. We got history of computers again. Vacuum cleaners. Quantum computers. In the 1970s to the 1980s, scientists including Charles Bennett, Paul Benioff, Richard Feynman, and David Deutsch, or whatever, sketch out how quantum computers might work. So they were thinking about how they could work back in the 1970s. All right, cool. So in 1981, stung by Apple's success, IBM releases its own affordable personal PC. Yay! In 1981, the space shuttle makes its maiden voyage. So now we're up to space shuttles in 1981. We went from rockets in 69 to space shuttles in 81. Okay. A lot of stuff happened in history. We're busy, right? Alright. So, we went from space shuttles to lasers to quantum dots. In 1981 and 82, I can't even pronounce it, and Louis E. Bruss independently discovered quantum dots. CD players, DLP projectors, internet, World Wide Web. Okay, Tim Berners-Lee invents the World Wide Web. Hold on a second. Why is Al Gore saying he's the one that invented the internet when Tim Berners-Lee is credited in 1989 for the World Wide Web? Al Gore, you got some splaining to do, bro. Alright, 1990, German watchmaking company Jung Hongs introduces the Mega One, believed to be the world's first radio-controlled wristwatch. Radio-controlled clocks, quartz clocks and watches is what we have now today because of that discovery. Ooh, here's one. Linus Torvalds creates the very first version of Linux, a collaborative written computer operating system. Yeah, that's good. That's what we needed. We need somebody to rival Microsoft, whatever that is, with Bill Gates and his euthanasian ideas. Computers and Linux is what we got now. So we got our iris scans, BOIP, whatever the heck that is, streaming media, e-commerce, HDTV, wireless internet, MP3 players, energy absorbing materials, electronic books, BitTorrent internet, self-healing materials. That's a good one right there. In 2001, Scott White, Nancy Scotus, and colleagues developed the self-healing material. That's like plastic. If you scratch it, it seals itself right back up. That's pretty good. All right, and so from that point on, we have the Roomba, whatever the heck that is, and we have robots. Let's see. iRobot Corporation releases the very first of its Roomba vacuum cleaning robot. So you got a vacuum cleaner that sucks without anybody pushing it around. So now we had the Roomba and we have robots. Roomba robots. Touchscreens graphene. There's one right there. In 2004, Andre Geim and Konstantin Novoselov discovers graphene. Now guys like Robert Murray Smith are seeing how far they can take that graphene technology. The atmospheric group out there uses graphene technology in their collection of static electricity from 200 and some odd feet up in the air with a wire that stretches across four towers. So, they're pulling 2,000 volts down, running to a huge capacitor bank and making 9,000 volts. Okay, so now we got graphene technologies, computers, electronic books, cell phones, touchscreen, computer touchscreens, 3D televisions. In 2010, 3D TV starts to become more widely available. Yeah, cool. All right, so that pretty much racks it all down there to a pneumatic transport tube. Elon Musk. Hyperloop. A giant pneumatic tube transport system. So essentially, in 2013, Elon Musk took and designed a tube that you can jump in there in your little craft, and the air pressure will push you one way and the suction on the other side will slide you through the tube, like whenever you go to the bank and you put your checkbook and stuff inside there and it sucks the tube up and sends it into the lady. That's been around for a while because when I was a kid, we used to have a toy that had a little deal inside there. You'd send around and it had its own track. It was a basically what Elon Musk is talking about, the Hyperloop. So Elon Musk You know, he might be like bringing it back to life, but it was around when I was a kid, and I was born in 1965, and so that must have been somewhere around the 70s or early 80s when I saw that particular toy that I'm talking about. In 2013, Eli Musk decided it would be something worthy of bringing back. So, here we are to the year 2016. 2015, we got supercomputers, and today we have nanotechnology. Man, gotta take a break here for a second. So, to recap, 2016 to 1965 was approximately 51 years, I believe. Yeah, about 51 years, depends on what date, what month. So, about 51 years, we got a lot of cool advancements, and going all the way back to, it only took us several hundred years to get where we got, once we got to the point where we actually had a light bulb. But it took us a heck of a long time, because 4 to 5 billion years ago, sun starts to produce energy. Now we have solar panels. Alright, so 4 to 5 billion years ago, the sun was hot, and today it's still hot, and it's still giving people sunburns, still making people highly uncomfortable in humid climates. It's still making people dehydrate in the desert. The sun's produced a lot of energy. Still keeps the planet warm. Still warms up the water and everything else. And according to science, it's been going on for 4.5 billion years. And it only took 4.5 billion years ago up to the point 10 million years ago when humans made the first tools, but they were still running around buck naked up until about 25,000 to 50,000 BC. They were basically nude beaches everywhere. And they discovered fire about, 1 to 2 million years ago. So there were several million years right there that they run around buck naked with tools, dangerous sharp objects. And they were butt naked and freezing their butt off until about 2 million years ago, 1 to 2 million years ago, when they figured out how to make a campfire. One would think that if you could figure out how to make a tool 10 million years ago, you'd be able to figure out how to make a campfire. But who am I to say? I'm not the one who wrote all this stuff. Either way, 25,000, 50,000 years ago can be credited for humans first wearing clothes, and biometric clothing is what we have today. We probably even got biodegradable clothes. You never have to change your clothes, they just rot off. Well, you can recycle them into fuel or something like that. Who knows, man? Throw them in the compost heap. So let's get rid of that one. Let's move over here, man. Like, because if look around out there, WikiLeaks has all kinds of inventions and stuff, and the centuries that they were created in and all this kind of stuff. And then and jump over here on this right here, because if you jump over there to superchat.html, which is isradio.com, you'll notice that there's a lot of brilliant individuals that show up and post links. So this one right here is another link of history that has out-of-place artifacts. Thanks to Stephen Gibbons posting this link right here. There's all kinds of unusual artifacts out there that, either got misrepresented or just don't seem to fit in the timeline where they were all going there. So, let me see if I can find a good, simple example of something that shouldn't be there. Modern day creations, forgeries and hoaxes. Folks, you're just going to have to go over here and read this, because there's a lot of stuff that people have found that should not be where they're at if things went the way that history was trade and stuff. Let me see if I can read this. An out-of-place artifact is an artifact of historical, archaeological, or paleontologic, I can't even pronounce it, interest found in unusual context that challenges conventional historic chronology by being too advanced for the level of civilization that it existed at the time or showing human presence. Like, for example, at one point in time, somebody was shoveling coal into a fire. Suddenly, a big chunk of that coal falls out and slams on the floor. And ironically enough, out pops a bell. Huh. How'd that bell get inside that doggone chunk of coal, man? Must be a doggone conspiracy, man. I'm just saying. The term is rarely used in historians or scientists. It is used largely confined to cryptozoologists, proponents of ancient astronaut theories. Yeah, because it's ironically enough, if you go back and look at some of the crazy stuff that you've seen on walls and tombs over in Egypt, which was supposed to be about 2,000 years or more ago, that those were, depending on who you talk to, some say they were older than that, 10,000 or more, that there were pictures that looked strikingly resemblance to helicopters and spaceships and, you know, aliens from space and such. Who knows, even the light bulb. So, I guess it all depends on who you ask about whatever particular subject's going on out there. So, there were, let's see, I'll go over and read this. It's pretty interesting. I'm just burnt out on all this reading, man. It's giving me a pounding headache. But all the way through history, mankind has built all kinds of cool stuff. It just took a long time to get where it's at. And I'm trying to think here, man. In the 20th century, in 1900, the first Zeppelin is designed by Theodore Colbert. Zeppelin, if for those of you that don't know what a Zeppelin is, it's kind of like what they call the modern-day blimp. And they had some that were had hydrogen inside of them. And then they moved to helium because of the Hindenburg. This is what we're told in history. I don't know, man. So, man. Okay, so anyway, I posted the links over there. If you're interested in figuring out more of them, then jump over there to the superchat.html and you can get a general idea of all the things and the timelines. About 2400 B.C., the Abacus, 500 B.C., Panini introduced the forerunner to the modern formula language theory, 300 B.C., Pingala invented the binary number system in 87 B.C., the Antikythera mechanism was built in Rhodes to track movement of the stars. I can't even pronounce that, man. Some of these words. So, 637 A.D., Greek fire was invented. I've never heard of Greek fire. But they attribute that to Kalinkos of Heliopolis. 724, Ling Khan invents the first fully mechanized mechanical clock. We're back to 800s gunpowder in China. So some of these are repetitive from a different, from the other page that I was on otherwise. So we went to a horse collar in Europe, to movable type printing press was invented by Shang, eyeglasses, suspended bridges in Peru, alphabetic movable type press that was invented by Johann Gutenberg, and let's see, ball bearings were invented by Leonardo da Vinci, together with flying machines including a helicopter, the first mechanical calculator, and one of the first programmable robots. Alright, 1510, you got a pocket watch, was invented by Peter Henlein. That's cool, portable timepiece. Alright, so ether was invented by Valerius Cortus in 1540. Pendulum was invented by Galileo. We already talked about that. 1581. Both the timeline. 1593. Thermometer. Also Galileo. 1608. Telescope was invented by Hans Lippershey. Microscope was invented by Galileo in 1609. 1645, the vacuum pump was invented by Otto von Guericke. Pendulum clock was invented by I can't even pronounce that either. So we got the pressure cooker, we got the steam engine, we got the piano. Got all kinds of nifty gizmos all the way up to modern day society, where we got 1928, antibiotics were invented by Alexander Fleming. Iconoscope was invented by Vladimir Zworykin. The jet engine was invented by Frank Whittle and Hans von Ohan. Ooh, there's one. Oh. Enigma. Adolf Hitler uses the Enigma encryption machine. The Enigma was essentially a cipher and a decipher. You could encrypt and encode messages and send them to people, and unless they had a machine on the other side and unencrypt it, you couldn't figure out what the heck the message was. But ironically enough, somebody did figure out how to unencrypt it. 1951, nuclear power reactor was invented by Walter Zinn. Wow. Okay. Optical fiber, video cassettes, Sputnik, silicone chip, laser was invented by Theodore Harold, Maiman. Optical disc, computer mouse, automatic teller machine, hypertext was invented by Andries Van Dam and Ted Nelson in 1967. Video games in 1968, invented by Ralph H. Baer. 1971, email, woohoo, Al Gore, yay, wrong. Anyway. Liquid crystal display, pocket calculator, floppy disk was invented by David Noble with IBM. 1973, Ethernet was invented. In 1983, camcorder was invented. In 1990, World Wide Web was invented by, once again, Tim Berners-Lee, whatever. Wasn't Al Gore, though. Al Gore tried to take credit for it. 2001 digital satellite radio. So, these are just a few of the invention timelines out there that are posted on the links over there at shazizradio.com. So if you're interested in timelines of history, we got a nifty gizmo out there. Google, you can just look it up, man, and you see what everybody's saying about what timelines, what was created, when, where, and how, and things that shouldn't be what they should, and things that aren't where they should be, or vice versa. So, oh, man. So, and Stephen Gibbons posted into the chat room, incendiary materials in war is an ancient origin. Many writers of antiquity refer to flaming arrows, fire pots, and such substances as pitch and naphtha and sulfur and charcoal in later centuries. Saltpeter and the turpentine made their appearance, and the resulting flammable mixtures were known to the Crusaders as Greek fire. Oh, okay, that was the answer to the question I had earlier. What the heck was Greek fire? Or wildfire. True Greek fire was to the Crusaders as, True Greek fire was evidently a petroleum-based mixture. However, it was invented during the reign of Constantine the 5th or 6th, Pythagoras, Pogonatus, 668 to 685, by they had some weird names back in the day. Callinicus of Helapus, a Greek-speaking Jewish refugee who had fled the Arab conquest of Syria. These substances could be thrown in pots or discharged from tubes. It apparently caught fire spontaneously and could not be extinguished with water. And there's a link that he also posted, www.britannica.com, technology Greek fire. Man, phew. I'll tell you what, this stuff make you dizzy after a while. But you can see what mankind's been up to all these years if you look around there through history. And so, man, it just goes on and on. Let's scroll back up through the chat here. Okay, yeah, never mind. Anyway, so we're sitting here in the year 2017. We're talking about science and technology and stuff like that, and I'm saying to the world that maybe we should be just a little further along than what we are. I mean, come on, man. Look at all the innovations that they had back in the day. You know, it only took what? Let me go see if I can find that one there again. Yeah, the timeline there. Alright. So, let me try to put this in perspective. Mad Science Show is in search for free energy. I've been trying to point people in the direction of all different types of technology. I've been trying to seek out all the free thinkers of the world and bring them to the table, utilizing technology that we already know is in existence, utilizing basic science and the known laws of physics to try to bring about a change in this world that will basically make it ridiculous to fight over resources or oil or pollute our planet. And for my efforts, I've been called everything under the sun, because there ain't no such thing as free energy. It's not possible. Ah. Okay, then science is wrong. Science is incorrect, because according to scientists, which they have a 1 billion year gap between the possibilities of it either being 4 billion years old or 5 billion years old. They just don't know. It's either 4 to 5 billion years ago the sun started producing energy. 10 million years ago, man started making tools from stone and wood and antlers and bones. And doing the math, 10 million years ago to approximately 1 to 2 million years ago, whichever one you look at it, it either took 9 million years or 2 million years. Wait a second, hold on. It either took 8 to 9 million years from the first tool that was made to discover fire. Yikes. And it gets better than that. It took an astronomical amount of time from the time we discovered tools to the time we discovered fire to the time we first put our clothes on. Now, who's writing history, folks? Who's out there writing history? Who's out there explaining that man ran around 10 million years ago butt naked with sharp objects and tools? And then 8 to 9 million years later discovered fire. How in the Sam Harry heck do you run around from 10 million years ago butt naked for 8 to 9 million years with sharp objects in your hand and survive as a species, according to evolution, before you finally get wise and build a fire to stay warm? So, what's going on? And then, many millions of years later, that you finally put your clothes on? Alright, so they got the clothes on, they got their tools in 10 million years ago, they discovered fire 2 million years ago, and in between 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, they finally put their clothes on. And somewhere in maybe the 50s or somewhere around, probably earlier than that, somewhere I'd say maybe 17th century or something like that, maybe they came up with the oven mitt so that you could, you know, not burn your hands on the hot things that you heated up with the stuff. So, mankind wasn't very brilliant. 4.5 billion years ago, the sun was out. Alright, 10 million years ago, they put their tools together and run around butt naked for about 8 to 9 million years until they finally discovered fire, so now they can get warm butt naked by the fire, which isn't very safe. If you've ever seen some woods burn, they like to pop little hot rocks off on you. Yeah, you can only visualize where that's going. Anyway, finally around 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, according to science and history and all that kind of stuff, they start putting the clothes on. So now they ain't running around butt naked next to the fire with sharp objects and so on. Who writes this stuff? Alright, so we finally got wires, we got clothes, we got tools, we got everything. We scooted through history. Only took us several thousand years to finally bring us to the point where, you know, we could figure out agriculture and stuff like that, and bricks and iron. And then once we got up to the certain point, looks like somewhere around about 600 BCE, when Thales of Miletus discovered static electricity, we started getting our act together, because now we had clothes on and tools and fire. And now we got electricity. Woo-hoo! Boy, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we were moving right along. It's amazing mankind even survived the Stone Age and got enough common sense to not run around with sharp objects butt naked next to the campfire. Whatever. So, yeah, Stephen says, I thought we had fig leaves for clothes. Well, apparently some folks didn't get the fig leaf memo and were running around butt naked for at least 8 to 9 million years. So, For 4 to 5 billion years, the sun has been producing energy, and something happened. Lightning hit the primordial soup and made the squiggly thing that end up made the wiggly thing that end up making the thing that swam around, and then end up making the thing that walked up out of the water that end up producing The weird little monsters with the hairy faces, and then finally that went on over to the monkeys, and the monkeys went over to the Neanderthal, and then all the way up till finally now you get to the point where you got the butt-naked man and woman standing out there with sharp objects and made out of wood and antler and bones 10 million years ago. So they're butt-naked with sharp things. And they're running around. They finally decide to design the fire 2 million years, 1 to 2 million years ago. And finally, after all the bugs biting them on the unmentionables, and the between the skeeter attacks and the sharp objects and the hot fire, somebody finally got the idea. You know, hey, look, you know. If we put these on, we'll be warm and insulated from sharp objects and such. And so 25,000 to 50,000 B.C., they finally put their doggone clothes on. Stephen Gibbon puts a link in there of Adam and Eve got the fig leaf, okay? All right, so now. Back in those days, I would say they had an excuse for the way that things were, you know, they ain't figured things out. I mean, after all, you're not too brilliant because you came from a monkey anyway. And before that, you was a crawly thing and a wiggly thing and then a squiggly thing or one vice versa. I can't remember which way it went, but either way, it was like primordial soup mixed the right chemicals and pow! Suddenly, Adam and Eve, started off as, little one single celled, maybe went to dual cells and kind of split in one direction or the other, and one became man and one became woman, and then they moved up on the land, and, now they were like lizards or little, fish with feet, and they moved from that to monkeys and, from monkeys on up to, the naked man standing out there in the midst of the jungle in the cold, cruel world with butt naked with tools and made of stone and wood and antlers and bones. Now, this is what science and history tells you. But I'm here to say that story stinks. If scientists and historians can't come up with a better plan, I don't know how in the heck we ever survived all that stuff. And now that we're standing where we're at, where we finally went through the trials and the tribulations of being butt-naked, chased by skeeters and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and sunburns, and there's got sunburns on certain unmentionables aren't probably the best idea, and it took a long time before we finally got up there to where we had sunscreen and, people were wearing clothing and stuff to shield themselves away from the sun rays that, according to science, was 4 to 5 billion years the sun starts producing energy. And you wonder why I call it mad science? Seriously. First off, you got to believe that there was this big cosmic bang millions and billions of years ago that just threw everything into place, and now you got a sun starts to produce energy, and you got a planet that has all the right materials to actually start to produce life, and then once that life gets on there and starts to evolve, that they figure out how to make tools, and then 8 to 9 million years later, figure out how to utilize fire. They discover fire, and then many years later, finally start wearing clothes. The timeline, the story, to the average Joe just like thinking around now, oh yeah, well, that's interesting on life, but to the free thinkers of the world, it's ridiculousness. It's flat out ludicrousness. And so you threw all this slop together and you ended up with man and woman, and you ended up with tools and technology, and there's a debate about how we got here and why we're here and so on and so forth, whether we were genetically altered by aliens or something to that effect, or whether we were a science experiment, or, you know, an illusion, a hologram, living in the Matrix. There's so many different possibilities of everything under the sun, what is reality, and so on and so forth, blah, 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 all the way up to the year 2017. Thank God we're here in the year 2017, because it was a long, long, extremely long, ludicrously, extremely, amazingly, all the leaves out there, it was like really, really, seriously long, painful journey to get to the year 2017 for all of mankind. It was brutal. Man, because, like I said, they were running around butt naked with sharp tools. Took them 8 to 9 million years to figure out how to make a fire. Took them even longer to figure out how to put clothes on. But now here we are. We're here. Everybody can breathe. Everybody take a breath. I want y'all to sit down for a second and relax. All right? Let's see everybody get a grip on herself. I'm going to take a drink of my coffee. And I want everybody to calm down. Calm down. We got this. Man, that was one heck of a journey we took. From little squiggly things all the way up to where we are today. That was one tough journey. And along that journey, we found a lot of mysteries. We found a lot of really cool devices, some of which shouldn't have been where they were, but, you know, we could explain that away, I think. And, you know, there were certain cultures who advanced a little rapidly, more rapidly than other, and there were certain cultures who designed these nifty things called pyramids. And somehow or another, somebody on the opposite side of the planet said, "Ooh, wow, we like pyramids too, but we'll make ours just slightly different." But nonetheless, it's still going to be a pyramid. We need to contemplate on this issue, man. We need to figure out why it is it took us so long to get here. It was a long, rough journey, but now we have nanotechnology. Little micro-sized robots. 3 nanotechnologists win the Nobel Prize in 2016 in chemistry for building miniature machines out of molecules. Y'all sit down and relaxed? Are you comfortable? You got your coffee and your sodas there? Okay, because we got to sit down and we got to figure this whole deal out. But we're going to do it calmly now, because we're over the hump. We're not running around butt naked with sharp objects next to the fire. But finally, we got our clothes, we got our electric heaters and our gas heaters, and we're sitting inside of really nice houses with HDTV and the internet service and plasma screens and all that kind of stuff. We're here in the year 2016. And we have knowledge of nanotechnology. Yeah. So, there's a whole lot of splaining to do, Lucy. I'm wondering, because if you look back through time, like the size of the dinosaurs, and you think about it, and the insects, I wonder how big skeeters were back in the day. Now, the skeeters nowadays, you don't want to get bit on the unmentionables by a skeeter nowadays, because you could get like West Nile disease or some sort of funky rash or something, some sort of plague, you know, malaria, whatever. And so I can only visualize what the Skeeters looked like back during the dinosaur day. You know, you go to the doctor and they got this little needle out and they're going to give you a vaccination or a shot. And it's like, that's scary. That needle looks like the size of a pipe. You know, but back in those days, those Skeeters must have had stingers on them the size of a ball bat. All right, well, I'm just trying to sort this out. You know, I'm just trying to get a grip on it. Alright, it must not have been very nice back in them days. Must not have been very safe, and everybody must have done a lot of time running for their lives. Butt naked with sharp objects, trying to get to the campfire so they could see what it was that was behind them that was getting ready to eat them so that they could fend them off with their tools. It's amazing we made it here, but we're here now. We're here in the year 2017. 2017, we have access to medicines and technology and flying machines and all kinds of amazing gizmos. And every year we see more nifty gizmos. On one hand, I have to say, we should be so much further along than what we are. But if it took us this long to get here, then maybe we're right where we need to be. I don't know. But then along comes mad science and poses the question. And out comes the NASA groupies to start the ruckus. The rioting, the looting, and the pillaging, the robbing, and raping. That's the NASA groupies. That's what they like. Mad science guys, on the other hand, they ask the tough questions. If we send a probe all the way to Pluto with a little bit of plutonium and a thermal reactor that could literally take a picture of Pluto, you know, with all the, you know, put out about 200 watts of power to run all the instruments and guidance system and radio equipment and all that kind of stuff and the cameras to take a picture of this right here. And then send that information all the way back to the deepness, darkness of space. Then, why aren't we more advanced than what we are and what you see right now? Why are we further along? And why are there still people out there hollering about climate change / global warming / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the mathematics do not add up? When the science is fouled, flawed, phony, forged, fake? And governments of the world are profiting from this. So with that said, the average mad science guy here on the Mad Science Channel understands that there's certain things out there that governments and scientists do for financial gain and notoriety and such. Keeping the population out there in fear and believing that the world is doomed. But I have to say, with all honesty, after reading what I read today and taking us down the timeline of all the discoveries and things like that, if we can survive 8 to 9 million years butt naked running around through the jungle with sharp objects before we finally get wise enough to put our clothes on, with giant skeeters tracking our every move, blood-sucking leeches and piranhas, you don't even know whether or not it was safe to go swimming back there because a piranha nowadays is pretty vicious, but a piranha back in those days might have been pretty doggone big, like Jaws or something like that. And you don't want Jaws jacking your junk while you're trying to take a swim across the pool or something like that. Just saying. So, they made it all that time without Jaws jacking their junk while they're swimming and wading through the jungle and fighting off the dinosaurs and the skeeters and all that kind of stuff. And we finally made it up here to where we are right now. We got really nice looking clothes and multicolors, different clothes. And there's even phrases like your clothes clash if you're wearing the wrong clothes, like plaid with stripes. Who does that? I mean, they did it back in the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. And they didn't get laughed off the planet until around about the 80s, when that like become ridiculousness, when their ridiculousness went from plaid pants and stripes to, you know, bell bottoms with some sort of crazy looking shirt on top. If you look through the history of mankind, it has been loaded with ridiculousness. So they went around bombing each other, blowing each other up, and robbing and looting and raping and pillaging, and finally get to the point where we are here today. We're here today in the year 2017. We still got some wars going on. We still got people bombing each other and blowing each other up. We still got protesters protesting the government for environmental concerns. And then you got government agencies dumping crud down rivers and telling everybody, oh, don't stress over that crud floating down a river. Just wait for it to float by. And then start drinking it again. Feed your cattle with it. It'll be all right. Roast Charlie Round. That's a fire. That's all right. Rope Charlie around. Charlie be okay. You know? Ridiculousness. So my question's been, why aren't we further along than what we are now? Apparently, don't get me wrong for asking, but is mankind stupid? Because apparently, mankind ain't very bright if it took us all this time to get from, we'll even give mankind some credit. We'll give mankind some credit. It took, we're not even going to talk about 4.5 billion years ago, the sun starts producing energy, and 10 million years ago, mankind was running around butt naked with sharp objects before they discovered fire and finally put the clothes on. We'll just jump from 25,000 to 50,000 BCE all the way up to the first, Chinese, doggone you Chinese, you're the ones that invented gunpowder and fireworks, so you got some responsibility explaining to do. The paper was a good thing, but then you turn that paper into gunpowder and firecrackers. Alright, 600 BCE. Somebody do some math for me, please, and thank you. 600 BCE to 2017. How many years is that? In 600 BCE, Thales of Miletus discovers static electricity. When electricity came into public view or knowledge, that's when things started to change. That's when we went from electricity up to electric motors and electric vehicles and all that kind of stuff. So somebody do me some math. 600 BCE all the way up to 2017. How many years is that? Then I'll probably have one other math question from that point. Stephen Gibbs says, ain't nobody got time for piranha jacking your junk. But you know they had to contend with it, man. Skeeters and piranhas and gators and snakes and blood-sucking leeches and all that. They survived that. Somebody do the math. 1600 BCE all the way up to 2017. and let's see here. I gotta find it, man. The doggone light bulb. I'm sitting here looking. What year was the light bulb? Incandescent light bulbs. Going once, going twice. Where you at? Xenon lamps. Well, we could go back there. Electricity, batteries. Light bulb, incandescent light bulb. What year was that? Doggone it. Hate it when that happens. Telescopes, magnetism, microscopes, satellite navigation, clockwork, electricity. We're going backwards there. Alright, so that took a long time, and if you measure from the time that static electricity was first invented up to when the very first incandescent light bulb by Thomas Edison showed up on the scene, and they had the xenon bulb earlier than that. Ah, crud. This will give you a headache, man. There it is, right there. 1807, Humphrey Davy develops the electric arc lamp. The electric arc lamp. Xenon lamps is what we got now. So, we were running in the jungle with sharp objects, buck naked, up until the point where we finally got some fire, and then we finally decided to put our clothes on many years later. Now we finally made it up to the doggone arc lamp that I just spoke about. Is it Humphrey Davis in 1807 develops the electric arc lamp. So the next math question is from 1807 to 2017. How many years had passed? Quite a few, man. But nothing, and I repeat, nothing in comparison to what science and history tells us that it took mankind to finally put their clothes on. So, here we are in the year 2017. We supposedly sent a rover to Mars. We sent a probe to Pluto. We've been to the moon in 1969. We're all the way up here now to where our technology is advanced to where I'm sitting there scrolling with a mouse, that electronic mouse that is running a electronic digital page down and giving me words and all that kind of stuff. And we got all this technology at our fingertips. We got all the knowledge of all the history of everything. All right, Stephen Gibbons did it. Thank you, sir. 600 BCE before Common Era. So 600 years. Before 2017 would be 2,617 years. That's a short order compared to the overall perspective of how long it took us just to put our doggone clothes on. Now that the knowledge is on the scene, and we got our clothes on, I hope it doesn't take us 2,617 years to finally figure out that we got before us every single answer to every single question, not only to heal one another with medicines and technology and foods and dietary and science that has to do with energy usage and pollution and so on and so forth. If we could bring the right people to the table long enough to explain the situation, where we stand, and where we should be going, and could get them to pay attention, focus, so to speak, and maybe it won't take us, uh, Let's see. Scrolling back up again. Maybe it won't take us 10 million years to get to where we should be. And since the sun, according to science, history, and all those who tell us about evolution and all the stories about the solar system and space and time itself, the sun has been burning, according to the information presented before me, for 4 to 5 billion years ago. I need somebody now to figure out, to ask every scientist out there. I need them to get the scientists to either speculate or calculate or hypothesize or theorize or whatever it takes to come down with an acceptable peer-reviewed number that will literally say that if you could make it past this amount of time, then we can classify this as free energy. If you can make it this long. So, does it have to run 4.5 billion years like the sun? Does it have to make it a few million years, or a few thousand years, or a few hundred years, or can it be like for a year solid, or, you know, 24 hours, or whatever? What is the cutoff point for free energy? If the sun and the earth has been doing what it has been doing for 4 to 5 billion years, the sun's been shining, the wind's been blowing, the thermoelectrics of the earth, the materials available in the earth, the piezoelectricity, the static electricity, and I could go on and on and on and on about the energies that nature has provided for each and every one of us for all these years. Because it took us, apparently we weren't capable of taking care of ourselves for the longest amount of time, because it took us 10 million years to finally make a tool, and then it took us another 8 to 9 million years to finally start a campfire, and then it took us many more years to finally put our clothes on, for Pete's sake. Skeeters, spiders, snakes, lions and tigers and bears, blood-sucking leeches and bats and so on and so forth, and crazy tribesmen running around black-naked, shouting crazy stuff with sharp objects and that. It was the most dangerous nudist beach in the history of time. And so here we are today. We finally got our act together. It's the year 2017. Utilizing everything that we have access to, utilizing this great worldwide web, this so-called internet, this vast, like my friend Steve says, we have the sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We have learned from all the things, we've seen what we don't want to do, and we've seen how things played out. We've had inventors invent everything under the sun that could be used for all kinds of purposes. Now it's a matter of taking that 500-piece puzzle or more and sitting down at the table, and you and I putting our pieces of the puzzle together to resolve all the so-called issues of the world in short order. It is 2017. Let us not let it take 10 million years to get where we should be, to satisfy the masses, feed the homeless, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, with all of what we've got out here. Now, I keep saying you're not going to get this kind of result from any representation or government agency or whatever. It's going to take a grassroots movement of epic proportions between the average Joes, the U's and I's of the world. While you're out there socializing on Facebook, tell them about Mad Science Show. Tell them what I'm talking about here. Play this podcast for them. Let them hear what we're having to say. Talk all the alternative energy researchers out there. Bring them to the table. Tell everybody to leave their pride behind, bring their knowledge with them, and their decency and respect and their love for humanity and the vision of moving forward to the table, and let's get it done. This is why I call it mad science. You heard throughout this entire show where we came from, how long it took us to get here, and the craziness that was ensued at the beginning just to get us to this point. How we survived to here and now is a miracle. So, put the word out. While you're on your Facebooks, send a message. Send people over here to ShazazRadio.com to the either the Knights of the Round Table or the Mad Science Show, so we can sit down at the table and we can talk about things, work things out, get people motivated to make networks and share technology and start our own organization of grassroots and average Joes out there, the back street mechanics or whatever, shade tree mechanics, garage inventors, and all those guys. Those are the ones I want at the table, because the rest of the guys and gals out there in the mainstream science and governments and corporations out there, they only got one agenda, and that's to make money and to make power and to, you know, basically use you as the base of the pyramid that holds up the king at the top. So if you want to get together, you want to get it resolved, then let's start shuffling people this way. Let's get everybody to the table and let the brilliance of people like Stephen Gibbons share their information, and the brilliance of Thomas and everybody else that's been here on the Mad Science Show all share their ideas and stuff. And we use our technology and their technology and all the information that we have at our fingertips to literally design the world's perfect generating systems. Self-contained homes, self-contained properties where people have their own food, their own necessities met. And we'll be fine. Otherwise, we let the knuckleheads at the top do what it is that they do. We allow them to continue the status quo. We allow them to continue to fatten their wallets, to live off of caviar and champagne while the average Joe out there is eating a piece of bread and some water, or maybe get lucky enough to have some butter on it or something like that. In the year 2017, there should absolutely be no phrase such as children in the world starving to death. With the technology that we have at our disposal, there should not be any sick people on this planet. There should be nobody starving to death. There shouldn't be no wars. There shouldn't be no rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, and all the craziness that you have seen throughout the history of time. We got everything it is that we need to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. We've got all the resources. The only thing that we don't have is the pieces of the puzzle willing to, at this point in time, come together and shorten the time that it takes us to finally get to that heaven on earth, that utopia that the so-called environmentalists, earth lovers, tree huggers, or whatever you want to call them, they want. They want clean environment. They want us working in perfect harmony with nature. They want us to leave for the future generations something wonderful that we haven't had the opportunity to experience because of all the shenanigans prior. I'm sitting here telling you we have everything we need to do exactly that if the world decides they want to do so. If the world decides they want to come together and mankind puts their information on the table and decides to actually start manufacturing clean renewable energy sources, internal combustion engines that work without polluting, which is scientifically there. all the science backs it up. You can make an internal combustion engine that will release absolutely no pollutants. It's there. You can make a car drive on water. You can make that same car be able to drive underwater. You can make that same car be able to fly. You can live like the Jetsons, or you can go back in time and live like the caveman, butt naked, running through the jungle with sharp objects, trying to figure out how to build a campfire. That's a long time to be cold. And you got a lot of dangerous stuff that you're going to have to endure. And we hadn't even mentioned thorn bushes, sticker bushes, briar patches. Imagine you're being chased through the jungle by a T-Rex. You're butt naked, you got sharp objects, you run into a batch of doggone thorn bushes, rose bush or hackberry bush or blackberry bush or raspberry bush, and bam, you're like stuck. You got your junk snagged on a branch. Meantime, T-Rex is closing in on you. You got your fight or flight going on. What are you going to do? It's cold as heck outside. You're in pain. You're being chased by some big old monstrous looking beast, and you got a giant skeeter buzzing around your neck trying to suck you dry. And underneath the doggone deal is a creek full of big giant old blood sucking leeches crawling up to get on to you. Must have been rough back in the caveman days. I wouldn't want to live it. If I did, I'd been the first one to say, you know what? I'm going to put some clothes on. I'm going to go snuggle up next to this fire. Have me a smoke, man. Drink me some whiskey and watch all this craziness. That's what I've been doing. But, you know, to each his own. Bring the people from YouTube, bring them from Twitter, bring them from all the different social media networks out there, bring them from, you know, wherever you go to socialize with the people out there in digital cyberspace, which is vast. Tell them we got a plan. Tell them that plan requires that we bring everybody together who has the skills and the talents and the artisticness, and somebody knows how to cook, and somebody knows how to sing, and let's like have fun doing it and make this world better than what it is. You think you don't have the power, but you do. You have the power of the pen, you have the power of your spoken word, you got the power of your actions, you got so much power, it's just ridiculous. But what is more ridiculous than the ridiculousness is that mankind hasn't chose to use it yet. Are we going to wait? Are we going to sit around and wait to see how long it takes before somebody stands up, does something about this mess? Or are you going to be the first one to stand up and start drawing the crowd? We can fix this planet. We can solve every single issue on this planet. But the key word is this. We have to do it. It can't just be me or him or her. It has to be we. It has to be us. It has to be all of us. There's going to be some knuckleheads that are too lazy. There's going to be some knuckleheads that are going to fight against us. There's going to be some knuckleheads that are going to do everything they can to discourage us. But I'm sitting here looking at the answer right in front of my face. I got the mechanical knowledge in my brain. Somebody else has the skill set to manufacture. We can get those folks to the table. And we got this whole mess resolved. So essentially what I'm going to do right now, since it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to throw on a tune or two, and take a quick coffee break, get refreshed, come back here and wrap this thing up for the last hour of the Mad Science Show. hope y'all enjoyed this show so far today. And hope you stay tuned, because there's a lot more to come. So with that said, peace and love. You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. Pass it around, folks. Get some folks here.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
All right, and so we're back. You're listening to the Mad Science Show, and it has been an interesting Mad Science Show, and I can tell you exactly what the ruckus was, Mr. Teacher. I'm sitting here learning about caveman back, 10 million years ago, running through the jungle trying to avoid getting their dangly things snagged on a hackberry bush, and I'm asking the tough questions about why I took them 8 to 9 million more years to figure out how to build a campfire, and yet even longer to 25,000 to 50,000 BCE to finally put some clothes on. See, if Shazam's Mad Science had been on air back in that day, I would have been the one telling them, look, man, instead of running through the jungle trying to avoid getting your dangly things snagged on a rose bush or a hackberry bush or a blackberry bush or a raspberry bush or bitten by giant skeeters or tormented by blood-sucking leeches and all the different craziness must have been going on while you're streaking through the jungle with sharp objects, because we were told that 10 million years ago humans made the first tools from stones, wood, and antlers and bones. So they were running through the jungle with sharp objects, butt-naked, trying to avoid getting their dangly things snagged on a hackberry bush or a blackberry bush and so on. And that must have been a rough go, being chased by a T-Rex or whatever, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and all that kind of jazz. So I would have been the one back then in that day saying, looky here, man, I made me some Kevlar... I made me a Kevlar loincloth, you know? I made me a wool sweater. So I'm going to be warm while y'all crazies are streaking around getting slapped by mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to be using some of this over here to smoke the skeeters away from us. And, I'm going to sit back and watch all the shenanigans for the next 10 million years till you guys figure out 8 to 9 million years anyway, until you guys figure out how to build a campfire. I'll be sitting over here by my campfire wearing clothes and laughing at the ludicrousy. And so had I'd have been back there in that time, I would have been one of the ones that would have said, look, there's an easier way to do this. You guys can keep on doing what you're doing, but, looks pretty painful to me. Looks like them skeeters are pretty hungry. Let's run up in that cave and build a fire and, start building some machinery to make some clothes and stuff. Because it's going to get cold out here. And so, with that said, we'd have sorted it out. But, unfortunately for humanity, Shazam's Mad Science wasn't back there during that day. But here we are in the year 2017, and Shazam's Mad Science is here. speaking common sense and trying to point out the crazy. You know? They call me crazy. They honestly do. They call me everything under the sun. I've been called so many things you wouldn't believe what I've been called. But I'm sitting here pointing out the reality and asking the tough questions. And NASA groupies don't like it. The folks out there that don't believe that there's a higher power or maybe a divine entity that could have possibly, made history a little bit different than what it is now and, you know, created all this kind of stuff or whatever, common sense and all that kind of stuff. You know, regardless, what they say in science and what you see in reality may not always coincide with one another, may not always go hand in hand. Maybe I would have thought that first, as soon as you got those tools right there, the first, next very best thing, you know, probably would have been to try to, you know, figure out some way to stay warm, you know, utilizing those tools. It shouldn't took that long between sections of tools to fire to close, you know. It's just common sense, but, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe humanity is stupid. And if that's the case, then that explains exactly why we're sitting where we're sitting here in the year 2017 and why I'm saying these words. Because I'm looking out at the world and I see all the resources available. I see all the talent out there. Because there are some brilliant researchers all over YouTube and different networks out there and forums and stuff. And they design and they test and they look at things, you know. And, you know, there's inventors all the way back to Tesla's time. I would have loved to hang out with Tesla. Him and I would have got along great. We would have saw eye to eye, you know. Maybe not on everything, but on the science issue of the deal. Mm-hmm. We'd have figured it out. We'd have had it resolved. We'd have figured out ways to get that energy out to people under the radar where nobody had an opportunity to try to hide the technology. Where in the year 2017, I can understand how back during the day when everybody was running butt naked through the jungle with sharp objects in the cold, that, you know, things might have been harder for people to come together and get things accomplished. But here in the year 2017, where we have access to all this kind of stuff, I can't understand why anybody out there in this world is doing without. I can't understand why anybody's hungry. I can't understand why that there's wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and homelessness and all the craziness that you see on a regular basis if you tune into the mainstream media or the alternative media or just listen to the word of mouth coming down the line. Everybody sitting around talking about everybody dying of cancer. Why? Why is everybody dying of cancer? Why did it take us 4.5 billion years since the sun started producing energy to figure out what the heck it is that makes it all work? You know, when we finally got to the point where we invented the light bulb and discovered electricity and things started escalating from there, and then we finally made it up to the industrial age, where we were starting making machinery and riding around on things, and life seemed to become easier, and we didn't have to worry about T-Rexes chasing us through the jungle, and we didn't have to worry about freezing. We had access to all different types of cotton clothing, wool clothing, and other synthetics that were created afterwards. We had oils and things that would soothe our skin and warm our bodies, and you know, basically, things started getting really good compared to what they were back during the caveman days. And we finally actually, you know, got up there to where they say we actually went into space. And we landed a man on the moon, brought him back safely, and not once, but several times did that. We sent rovers to Mars and all the different planets. We sent probes out there. We've sent pictures back. We got supposedly a space telescope out there. And we got all kinds of satellites for telecommunication. We got land-based radars. We got satellite GPS systems. We got a lot. We got all kinds of stuff. Internet access, Wi-Fi, fiber optics, everything under the sun necessary. We got hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, wind power, solar power. We got everything that we need to literally produce and build the perfect generators, the self-contained houses, perfectly insulated, that everybody and his brother can live happily ever after with food in their belly, jobs to go to, and, you know, basically bring about a heaven on earth, or a utopia, so to speak. So we got all this. My question is the same question I've been asking since the start of this show. Why? Why is it that we have not, to this day, figured out how to fix the mess that the world's in? In 1888, Nikola Tesla patents alternating current, AC electrical induction motor, and in opposition to Thomas Edison, becomes a staunch advocate for AC power. And that wasn't all of his design, but that was like, you know, if there was ever anybody with any common sense and brilliance, there was a man that could be pointed out in history. And I'm not saying he was the only man in history that had common sense and brilliance, because there were lots of men and women throughout the history of time that figured out smart ways to do things instead of running through the jungle butt naked. I mean, to some folks in some neighborhoods or societies, you know, running through the jungle butt naked would be fun. There's actually a TV show, Naked and Afraid, where they put people in swamps, butt naked in the swamp. So those folks in the swamp, butt naked, on that reality TV show would probably have a good idea what it would have been like to be a caveman. And I would be willing to bet that if they survived that situation and finally made it out without no ill effects or some sort of malaria or something else, that those individuals would probably have a newfound respect for the luxuries of life. And so I'm willing to bet that they probably won't go back into the jungle butt naked anymore. And if they do, they're probably going to take some luxuries from modern technology, such as skeeter repellent sunscreen and stuff like that. So we've got LCD screens and displays, electricity, electric motors, induction motors, power plants, pyrometers, camcorders, projection TVs, diesel engines, x-rays, electric bikes, radios, vacuum cleaners, airplanes, jet engines, photoelectric cells, chainsaws, air conditioners, chromatography, plastics, clothing washers, air pollution, electrostatic smoke precipitator. Gotta take a breath. Let me take a drink of coffee here. Man. Love coffee. We got car engines. We got pH meters, lithium ion batteries, Geiger counters, mass spectrometers, televisions. We already said LCD TV. We got bullet space rockets, magnetrons, microwaves, robots, polygraphs, air conditioner, refrigerators listed again, LCD TVs, digital pins, eco homes, solar cells, Kevlar, Nomex, nylon, wetsuits, radar, we already said pH meters, xenon lamps, shape memory alloys, we got reed switches, photocopiers, Gore-Tex, nonstick pans, Teflon, we got nuclear power, electronic books, World Wide Web, amplifiers, electronic history, computers and transistors, barcodes and barcode scanners, lasers, batteries, electric bikes, electric cars, solar powers, flywheels, we already said microwave ovens, fiber optics, endoscopes, we already said nuclear power plants, satellites in space, computer graphics, snowmobiles, lasers, we already said, photochromic lenses, computer graphics, already said, e-commerce, defibrillators, I'm going to need a defibrillator before too long, vacuum fluorescent displays, molecular beam, epitaxy, solar cells and energy, we have been mentioned, and electronic books, and space rockets, and computer mouse, CD displays, electric ink and paper, history of computers once again, cell phones, computer networks, internet, encryption, smart homes, vacuum cleaners, quantum computers, CD players, MP3 players. We got old style VHS and beta, and you name it. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Radio controlled clocks, quart clocks and watches, clocks that'll fit in your pocket, TV screens that'll fit on your wrist. We got streaming media, HDTV, once again, wireless internet, Wi-Fi access, hotspots, BitTorrent internet, self-healing materials, Roomba robots, touch screens, graphing technology, cell phones again, and touch screens, and 3D television, and pneumatic transport tubes, and supercomputers, and nanotechnology. And you want to sit here and try to convince me, the mad scientist, the craziest man that ever existed in the history of time, that with all that technology that there should be a starving baby on this planet? I'm going to have to sit here and tell you, Mr. or Mrs., you are wrong. We got everything necessary to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, so that everybody who is homeless has the option of a shelter. Everybody who is hungry has the option to have some food. Everybody who is sick has medicine. Everybody who is in need of anything is provided for. The only drawback that we got is we can't get humanity past the caveman stage. And this is it. Wait for it. Wait for it. The punchline of today's show. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Are you ready? Well, the problem that we have here in the year 2017 is that we're still running around with a 10 million year old mentality to where we are butt naked, running around with sharp objects in the jungle, trying to avoid snagging our junk on a hackberry or a blackberry or a raspberry or a rose bush, and trying to outrun T-Rex and lions and tigers and bears and blood-sucking leeches and bats and craziness and terrorists and government officials who want to see us in that kind of misery. And how many times have we ran past the clothesline? Brother, I'm here to tell you, if we're making that circle, that journey, that jacked up mess that we call life out there in during the caveman days, and we're doing it here and now every single time we run past the clothesline, I'm be chucking people clothes. Put some clothes on, fool. We're about to go through the jungle again. T-Rex is still on our back. Take some of them sharp objects and chuck them at him or something. We got to get our act together or we're all going to die. That's why I do the Mad Science Show. That's the punchline of today's gig. We're going by a 10 million year old mentality that we're still making tools out of stone and wood and antlers and bones. And we're running around butt naked past what one wise individual has a campfire going on, and he's sitting there wearing a snuggy and freaking nice cushy pillow, and he's got his cigar and his whiskey over there, and he's sitting by watching all these crazy naked people running around in circles and ain't nothing getting done. They done run past the clothesline 100 times. They've been slapping off mosquitoes, fending off alligators, and junk snatching piranhas, and you name it. And you got one wise guy sitting off to the side saying, "Hey, come over here. It's like a campfire going on. It's warm. Hey, there's some clothes on that line." You know? But yet people keep on making the same doggone loop. Keep on making the same doggone loop. If you get your dangly thing snagged on a hackberry bush, you only do it once before you realize it wasn't fun the first time. Well, mankind and womankind alike have had the displeasure of living in the year 2017 and still happen to go through the same doggone mess. wars out there, people bombing each other, people losing their families and all this kind of jazz, and corporations getting richer and governments getting more corrupt, and individuals out there are hungry and can't find no food, and other people are freezing and can't find no clothes and shelter. That's why I pose the question, because it's ridiculousness. It's beyond ridiculousness. It's ludicrous. So there you go. That's it in a nutshell. It's either time to come to the campfire and start organizing and getting things done. It's either time to feed the homeless and feed the hungry and heal the sick. Or it's time to get off the bandwagon. Because I don't want to jump around, running around, chasing off skeeters all day long. These little trolls that run up on the channel and start cursing you out and telling you how stupid you are, or trying to use some high-tech terminology, or getting mad because you believe in something that they don't. If I'm sitting here talking common sense and I'm pointing out the obvious, hey, look, man, you don't have to snag your junk on the hackberry bush or the blackberry bush or the raspberry bush. Put this Kevlar pair of boxers on and you know, continue on what you're doing. Even though that part's crazy, too, because you're running around in circles being chased by a T-Rex, you should turn around and sort that character out. You know, we got nuclear power plants out there that people are concerned about. We've got supposed issues with climate and environment that people are worried about. And we got wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and rocks coming from space that people are worried about. And I'm sitting here telling you that you have every single answer to every single question to resolve all the problems just by utilizing the solutions that have been presented to you. The knowledge is right before your very eyes. Each and every one of you are a piece of that puzzle, and until you figure that out and start coming together, if it's not in this neighborhood, do it in your neighborhood. Start your own network. Go around and find everybody who has talents and skills and anything, and develop groups and start developing things and solving issues in your community. It's that simple. Each one of you by yourself might not have the funds or the energy or the resource or the skill set or the brain power or the talent to do something by yourself. But even if you're not a scientist and you can understand the common sense of what's coming out of my mouth, you could help the process by sharing this information with other people out there and get them motivating to doing the same thing. And that might make you an organizer. So now your talent is organizing and getting these people together and bringing them to the table. That's how this solution is utilized. That's how we resolve this whole entire mess. If you find something out there that needs fixing, then you bring the people together with the tools and the knowledge on how to do so. You leave the greedy ones by themselves. Eventually, the greedy ones will understand what the heck is going on, and maybe they'll pitch in because they see that somebody's baking a pie, and at some point in time, they might want a piece of that pie. But it ain't like the whole story where you hear about some nice lady making bread or a man making a soup and nobody pitching in, and they want to say, oh, that smells good, and they wait till you do all the hard work and then come in there to reap the benefits of that. It means everybody's going to have to work together. It means you have to share in the work and the labor and reap the rewards together. Stephen Gibbons said, we are still compelled by fear and using obsolete explosive technology. We need to move to a society compelled by love and using new implosive technology based on the wheel work of nature, that the electromagnetic dual torus. I agree. It's So we got two people on the team. We got me and Stephen Gibbons. We can at least explain it to the manufacturers and the creators and the artists and the designers and the people with the skill set to do the fine work and tooling necessary. We'll explain it to you. Just, you got to be willing to want to do it. If you got a mill out there, if you got a doggone lathe or CNC machine or a doggone 3D printer or any tool or whatever that you think could actually benefit this movement, move it all in together. Find yourself some sort of middle ground. Build you a shop together. You know, you got people out there that have land and resources available that want to save the planet, and they would sure come on board if they honestly believe that you were serious about making the situation better than what it has been. The problem is somebody got to step up to the plate. I'm stepping up to the plate trying to be the motivator. I'm trying to live it like it says in that movie. They said, build it and they will come, you know. I'm waiting for them to get here. That's what. I got the platform. I got the microphone. I got the virtual round table, which we can extend for infinity because cyberspace is unlimited. And so you can bring as many people to the table as you like. Share it on your social media network. Share this podcast and get them to the table. And if you don't like our radio network, there are plenty of them out there like TCT Radio. Go over there and support those individuals over there. Wonderful folks trying to do the same exact thing. Go over there to Awake Radio or People to People Radio. There's so many different networks affiliated. Look on this ShazizRadio.com. Find something you like. Go to it and, you know, add something. Throw another chat room up in the super chat. So we'll add our network with yours. We'll get everybody focused in on a centralized point where we can start, you know, showing things that we got. Sharing ideas. Making this thing happen. I'm 51 years old. I'm not sure how much longer I'll be on this planet. And at some point in time when my words cease and nobody else is being motivated and everything goes back to the status quo, we might even blow ourselves up to the point where we go back 10 million years and start running through the jungle butt naked with sharp objects. Trying to protect our dangly things. I'm just saying. I don't call it mad science for nothing. Not everybody agrees with what I have to say. Not everybody agrees on the method that I have to offer. But I'm just trying to make sense of something that makes no sense of the story that our history was told, of history rewritten or whatever. And I'm asking why it is we're standing here in the year 2017 and there's still any kids on this planet starving when we got everything we need to feed them. That makes me crazy, so be it. But in the meantime, I've shouted and yelled to all four points of the compass. Now it's up to you that if you believe that this crazy guy has got a good idea, that you help this crazy guy spread the message. If you really want to save the planet, if you really care about the environment, do something besides carrying around a sign that says save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. At least if you're going to go that route, at least make sure it's got the recycled paper and recycled wood on the side of it, you know? At least you know it was used twice and that poor tree didn't die for nothing. We're talking about common sense. We've explained the ridiculousness of the history of man. The sun has been producing energy for 4 to 5 billion years ago. People say there is no such thing as free energy, but the sun is proof otherwise. And if you're on the side of the fence of the earth is only 6,000 to 7,000 years old and you're a creationist, still same thing applies. How many years does it have to be producing energy, an overwhelming abundance of energy, before it is classified as free energy? I set out to discover free energy. I found it. I found it in the most obvious places. And now that I know where it is, and now that I know that we know how to harness it, now that I know that we have the tools and the technology to literally do things that were unheard of back 10 million years ago, there's no reason why it should take us 2,617 years from the first discovery of electricity to get further than what we are today. Right now we have the technology to boldly go where no man has gone before. That's where I stand. And if you agree, then while you're out there on Facebook listening to everybody foul-mouth each other and talk trash about politics and religion and whatever it is they argue about, ask them one question. Are you serious about saving the world? And if their answer is yes, if they're serious about saving the world, share this podcast. Because I'll make my promise to each and every one of you out there. If you're serious about saving the world, if you're serious about taking humanity out of the Stone Age, if you're serious about moving our future into a better direction to where we can pave the stones for a smooth path for our children and our children's children into infinity and beyond, I'm making this promise. I'll stand right beside you. I'll share everything I got, and we'll make it happen. We'll make it all happen. I do believe in the dream, otherwise I wouldn't do what I do. I wouldn't spend all this time and money and effort talking to the world. I'm not asking for anything in return. All I'm is asking is you share your brain, I share my brain, we work together, we get results. Not looking to get rich, not looking to get famous, not looking for anything else other than to leave for my grandchildren and their children a world without so many shenanigans, without all the ridiculousness, and without them having to hear for 51 years of their life that there's babies in this world starving to death. That there's babies in this world dying in war zones. That there's people sick and going through tormenting chemotherapy to try to heal cancer. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for a man who wants a home not to be able to have a home. There's no reason for people to have to slip through the cracks of humanity and not have a place in society where they can be loved and cared for and do the same for others around them. This is the whole purpose behind Shaziz Mad Science. This is the reason why you're hearing what you're hearing if you're listening right now. There's no other reason. No other agenda. I see a need. Everybody told me that there was an energy crisis and that there was an environmental crisis and that there was a food crisis and that there was all these things out there that were bad with the world. They told me about the wars. They told me about the rumors of wars. They told me about the plagues and the famine and the pestilence and the robbing and the raping and the looting and the pillaging. When I heard all this, my heart was concerned. I looked back, I looked out, I studied, I researched, I watched in every direction. I paid attention to what was being said and what we had available. What kind of resources do we have to resolve these issues to make it to where these folks aren't suffering? And the only thing I could do at the time that I had was what you see right here before you, the platform that I built, and the words that I heard in the back of my mind, and then deep in my heart, and said, build it and they will come. Well, it's built. And we're here. And some have came. Some brilliant minds have shared links inside the chat room. Brilliant words of wisdom. Help me fend off a few trolls now and then. But we're here. And we're waiting for you. So if you're one of the fortunate ones and wise enough ones to listen to this crazy podcast and to share it with your friends, then you belong here. You belong here, and if not here in this network, go over there to These Changing Times Network. You'll find the same kind of people. Go over there to People Radio. You'll find the same people. Look around hard enough and you will find people just like me and just like all these other wonderful individuals out there who are trying to make a difference in this world. And listen to what they got to say. And before you deny it, at least try it. Get it fixed. We're not done yet. Our Creator didn't put us down here on this earth to fail. Why would you create something as wonderful and as amazing as the human body if all you wanted that to do is fail? Why would you create something as wonderful and as beautiful as the earth that we stand on and the nature that we live and breathe if you wanted it to fail? I don't believe the mission was for us to fail. I believe the mission was for us to succeed and to see how far that we could actually grow. And to eventually one day, if reality is as we believe it, to boldly go where no man has gone before, or even step foot in the utopian that was already created waiting for us to learn to be good souls, or what, however you want to look at it. At some point, if there is life after death and we move on into a higher enlightenment, doesn't matter which side of the fence you stand on in religious views or which denomination or religion that you subscribe to. When we stand on the other side and we finally figure it all out, when we know all the mysteries of the universe and we get it resolved, we look back on these times as the dark ages when mankind was just running around butt naked with sharp objects in the cold trying to discover fire and some clothes. That's where we are at today, folks. That's where we've been for a long time. Since the discovery of electricity, at least 2,617 years ago, we have watched our brothers and sisters around the world suffer needlessly. Now that we stand in the year 2017 with access to all this knowledge, now our generation has no excuse. You can't use your government as an excuse anymore. You can't use corporations as an excuse anymore. You can't use secret societies as an excuse anymore. You can't use the devil as an excuse anymore. You can't let anything out there be an excuse for you. Because from where I sit, where I stand, and what I see out there in this world, with everything that we have access to, there is no excuse. And so with that said, now's the time to put up or shut up. Don't complain about the state of the world if you're not willing to get in there with a broom and a mop and a hammer and some tools and some knowledge and some love and start making it better. Don't complain about the environment. While you're out protesting, some fish is dying from some chemical being dumped in the creek. While you're out protesting the government about doing whatever it is that they're doing, somebody is out there dying of some sickness. While you're standing there protesting the guys and gals with guns and ball bats and pepper spray, your world around you is dying. And your people, your friends, your relatives, your brothers and sisters around the world are dying while you're out protesting. It's time to get in the labs. It's time to get in the schools. It's time to start educating and teaching one another how to make things right. It's time to listen to the elderly. It's time to listen to your heritage. It's time to bring forth the hidden knowledge of time. The hidden knowledge from every single race, religion, and whatever. It's time to put those pieces of the puzzle on the table. Alternative medicines, alternative cures, alternative energy sources, alternative ways to govern. It's time for we the people of this world to come together. The alternative is look back through history, go through the invention or discovery timeline. There's multiple sources out there where you can check where people have done their research and they tell you approximately what time scientists say that this or that was occurring and what we figured out by this timeline or that timeline. And there's even like Stephen Gibbons posted into the chat room, there are things that are out of place, such as the coal that broke open and a bell fell out of the, it's inside of that coal, which bears some explanation. How did a piece, how did a bell get inside a chunk of coal? Not all of your history is told the right way. We can agree to disagree, but we can search for the solutions and the truth together. Or we can go down in history and start regressing ourselves all the way back to the time when after the nuclear explosion, those who are fortunate enough to survive the onslaught and the apocalypse will finally take another 10 million years to invent tools from stone and wood and antlers and bones. And another 8 to 9 million years, according to science, before we discovered fire. And many, many, many more years, 25,000 to 50,000 BCE, before humans finally wore clothes. I don't want to go back in time like that. I don't want to de-evolve if we evolved to begin with. I don't want to regress. I want to move forward. And I hope that you want to move forward too. So with that said, you've been listening to Mad Science, and I'm going to play us up out of here with a song that I play at the beginning of every deal, because in my little part of the world, I'm surviving. And I do it with what knowledge I got. I'm willing to share that knowledge with everybody else in the world, one crazy mad science guy to another, one person to another, brother and sister, so on and so forth. Friends or just passersby. Doesn't matter. I want to build this world a better place. And in order to do that, I need the other pieces of the puzzle to come together. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Share this podcast if you believe in the dream.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field,
fish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Cause when them old boys raise on shotgun, we say praise and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beechnut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.